grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Wait. I need more snare in my headphones.
What's up, Chris?
I was getting into that.
Stop me from singing, mate.
No, I didn't. Oh, no.
No, like
I should. Though.
You start talking, stop singing. That's a good format.
All right, okay. I'm with it.
How's it going?
Whew. Good. Good. Getting ready for late night tonight.
First Thursday. What's the goddamn weather doing? Goddamn it.
It's okay.
K Road's waterproof.
It was sunny when I up on K Road when I left. So
I've been in a dark room all day.
It's Chris, like a sunny ridge up there. Isle of paradise.
Can I just say, the last couple of days, usually I ride my bike in, but the last 3 days I caught the bus in. And I've been sitting up top on a double decker bus coming down K Road, thinking, actually, it looks bloody nice.
There you go.
I mean, you guys did suffer. You suffered through a bunch of roadworks and construction up there for a couple of years now.
Mm.
But K Road is looking pretty bloody good at the moment.
That's right. That's right. It feels like a nice positive vibe up there. And, you know, a lot of people around. As I said, it's always kind of a bit sunny. Tonight's a good night to do it anyway. Straight home from work.
K Road has that sunset, especially where you are. You're right on that kind of dog leg bit of it.
Yeah.
And then the sunset's right down the road. As we've been jamming out on the road right at that sunset time.
It's a bit like Stonehenge. The sun lines up certain times of the year.
Very powerful.
And it's on first Thursdays, in fact.
Don't
go home from work. Come on in. And there's great places to eat and all that too.
Mm.
Woohoo. And also, but I've got to say, the other cool thing coming up, so not only tonight, Saturday, at the Hemp Store, we have Know Your Stuff in store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Somebody was asking. That's good to know. Okay.
There you go. Come along and bring your weird bits and bobs that have been sitting in the drawer, you know, if you have, or you know someone who has, someone else, of course. And but also, they're going to give it a go with testing flour and things. So I had to talk to them, and the issue with, you know, like barns and oils, with their particular equipment,
the advantage
is, it's mobile equipment, so they can take it to places. The downside of that is, anyway, the way it was something like a balm, it's not going to be able to see into it see what the cannabinoid content is. But a flower, on the other hand, give it a go, bring it in. It's totally legal, it's discreet, it's free, and especially if you're worried that it's got some hormones or pesticides or something weird.
Good to know.
Especially
if you're getting off a regular piss.
Or if someone's told
you. You can let your grower know, like, hey mate, look, I found a bit of crap in your stuff,
you
know,
tighten
up your game, dog. Yep. It'll be good information.
And if you think it's a CBD one as well, you know, then confirm that.
Right on. Hey, just on that as well, how much of... let's just hypothetically speaking, I get my ecstasy and it comes in a pill. How much of the pill do I need to give the testing people?
It's like a little pinhead. I think if you can see it, it's enough.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool.
And but it's two tiny little samples of that, one for the reagent and then one for the machine. And then you know. Then you know what you're taking and you make an informed decision, which is the whole point.
Sure.
Good as gold.
Mm.
Right, place of the week. Moving on, we like to do the place of the week. Who would have thought the place of the week would be Louisiana?
It's always America, though. I feel like America's kicking ass and taking names over there.
But Louisiana, of all places, it's the South. And anyway, so
is that because it's so Christian-y?
I think it was yesterday. It took effect, and
Christian-y? Is that a word?
It's 14 gram carry in public, and no arrest.
That's like a few little baggies, sorted.
It's enough for going visiting, you know, for your day and that. A
couple of massive joints out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. And if you want to keep your motivation up as well, of course, because study of the week,
This is interesting stuff.
This is super interesting because, of course, we know this. We doesn't make people
stigma aplenty around this shit.
There's so much, and it's such a widespread kind of thought among the no voters, shall
totally,
we say?
Totally.
But of course, you know, so there was three interesting studies came out. One, it showed there was no change in actual observed levels of motivational inclination among young people, whether they consume cannabis or not. There was no change going on there. But then you had another one where they, this was a really interesting one, that they gave people some tasks to do, and the people that consumed cannabis chose the harder task. It was more interesting, more challenging. And this was, you know, no reward or equal reward type tasks. So there was no kind of motive in terms of that, like, oh, we'll pay you more, or you get a extra Bitcoin, or, you know, it was there was no difference, and yet they voluntarily chose the harder task. And this was a residual effect. This was really interesting. It was looking at what is the residual effect on motivation for the next day. So think about this, employers.
Right.
The residual effect was that they chose the harder, more complex, challenging tasks.
I relate that
was the residual effect.
I relate that to, like, optimism. I think it just makes you more a little bit more optimistic to be like, yeah, let's have a hoon at this, you know, like, what's the worst that could happen type of, you know, it kind of has that
you're
effect.
You're sounding reckless there, mate, and you're really not the narrative that I was wanting to put out.
No, but that's that. I feel like you're kind of missing
maybe.
My.
Yeah, well, as long as it's not misplaced optimism. But anyway, that didn't look at that. The point of the study was that people chose, all things being equal, they chose the more, you know, complex, challenging tasks. Mm.
As a result of being more optimistic, I think that's just what I think.
Well, that's okay.
It's okay. It's all just what I think. Not the end of the world.
Well, I'm talking science. You're talking what you think. So okay, that's all good. That's all good. The internet's full of that.
Sorry, man, I'm just deconstructing the sentences that we read. That's all.
So, from the science. The other two big studies, and this touches on, in fact, what we were just talking about with Know Your Stuff, and this was Derek Chang in the Herald, behind the paywall, unfortunately. It was called Will the Government Step Up? How Drug Tech Checking Could Help Thousands of Medicinal Cannabis Patients. And, of course, loyal listeners to the show will know that we've talked about this for quite a while now, that, you know, that pill testing is of course, awesome and totally needed, and awesome that the government's moving forward on that. And what we also need to see is a similar service available, or could, as I say, as we're trying out this weekend at the Hemp Store. So one of the things in this article is it kind of, if you read it behind the paywall, it kind of almost makes it look like the bill that's going through Parliament won't allow it, or that they have to do some sort of change. You know, will they do it? Will they step up? But in actual fact, the bill is agnostic on which substance. It doesn't say it's about ecstasy or anything. It's a substance checking bill. So green fairy type checking, or checking of medicinal cannabis products, will totally be allowed under the bill.
Could the government theoretically set up a testing location, say in
Absolutely.
Auckland, that it could just be free to, or whatever, X amount of dollars for people to go and get whatever tested, and that would just give people, I mean, like pill testing, people's certainty over what substance they're taking. You know, like, it just make it a bit more of a regulated and or free to access sort of service. That would just, I think that would sort of take a lot of stigma and questionable sort of practices out of the recreational drug market.
Absolutely. And there's definitely a lot of discussion around that. And I mean, not necessarily specifically about cannabis, but just in terms of the submissions that were on that bill, you had people like St. John's and the Needle Exchange saying that they were wanting to get involved in doing it.
Yes.
And of course, Know Your Stuff, you know, as we're doing on Saturday at Hemp Store. And there was another guy in this article in the Herald, I forget his name, sorry, but he's setting up a cannabis analytical business, and or service, I should say, and he's quoted in this article and is wanting to, you know, obviously not be left out. And I think from the sounds of it, that might be a mail order type one where you would send it in and get a result. And that's kind of how it works in America and places like that. And absolutely, there's totally a need for that. You kind of need multiple ones. And in fact, the Needle Exchange is a good kind of model in that it's not the government directly doing it. They're kind of hands off. It's non-profit. It's peer-based. It's advocates. They're in places where they're needed to be, but they're not like high profile, like, but if you need to know where they are, you can find them. And they get a bit of government funding so that it's free for the people that are using it, because that's the point. You don't want to put people off and make this an equity issue where only people that could, say, can afford to go to a festival and pay a couple hundred bucks can actually get access to the testing. You know, it's really important that it is free, but it doesn't have to be exclusively free. You know, having a model where you send it in and pay a fee, you know, that could work too. So, but yes, super cool that they're doing it anyway, I think. Very, very cool. And as Derek Chang says in this, You know, really moving forward with this is another way that the government, when they're on the one hand saying their hands are tied because of the referendum result, but on the other hand they do have official policy that they want drugs to be treated as a health issue, not a crime, and to be have equitable access to these sorts of services. So it's a good way that they can kind of tick it off or put a badge on her cloak, I think is what he said.
Say they stepped into this realm where they were offering a testing service, would that take some of the pressure off producers? Say we move towards a market where we're you know, making and growing cannabis locally, would that take some of the regulation and would it perhaps lower the bar somewhat for products that were produced commercially?
Probably not, that's a separate thing. And certainly the medicinal cannabis rules are all around, they're all based on the pharmaceutical approach. So I can't see them, well, that's a separate thing, shall we say. It's not necessarily going to do that. But yeah, we do need a revisit. And that was the other major story of the week, I think, was came out on One News a couple of days ago. Kiwi-made cannabis products could hit shelves by Christmas, was the headline. People unlock that up on TVNZ. And behind the headline, you know, will it actually happen? My understanding, and I talked to Helios down at the GP conference in Rotorua, this is actually an imported oil that they're repackaging. Rebottled oil, imported oil that they're packaging up and putting a brand on, but then the story says it's a Kiwi-made cannabis product. I hope it really is a Kiwi-made cannabis product, but you know, even if they're rebottling, it's still a product, and hopefully they can get approval for that. And because you know, those are the only ones they've approved so far, the Tilray oils. So you know, the more around, the better. But one thing, the sort of bad news, and that's the good news for patients, is things could be starting to slowly happen. And as Chloe Swarbrick says in there, hallelujah, finally one. You know, but the bad news is Andrew Little has confirmed in this thing that there will be no extension to the temporary exemption that's granted to products that are already on the market. So products like Medleaf and so on, they're actually the top products here. They'll be off the shelves or unavailable after 30 September if these rules, you know, stay as they are. So, you know, that's not a good outcome. There is actually going to be, you know, maybe a dozen oils that are available now for doctors to prescribe that won't be available come 30 September.
It looks like they want to grow it because it's the sentence here in the One News story says the company's factory in East Tāmaki is the largest medical cannabis facility in New Zealand with the capacity to grow 100,000 plants and turn them into medicines, whether that is drops, sprays or capsules.
Lovely.
Big plans. Like, that's a lot of
work. Yes, it is. It's a very, very expensive facility, about $1.5 million a year in rent.
Does it look like a prison from the outside?
$10 million spent on their air conditioning, I think. I don't know, this is all just what you hear. It's just rumours that I'm spreading on air. But we should get them up here on air and talk about how they're going to make this low cost.
What's the biggest operational local cannabis legitimate operation that you know of?
There's been a few big outdoor ones that happened over the last summer that then... you know, couldn't do anything with their crop and had to destroy them and things. Puro as well did a big one down in Marlborough that was, you know, well over 100,000 plants. I think 300,000, something like that. That was outdoor in CBD. You know, but scale isn't everything. But you do need to get to scale to get the prices down, to get the, you know, the economies of scale. But you got to have a way to sell it to actually, you know, pay for all that.
Tex is asking how I get mellow stoned without smoking the DAC. I guess you ought to experiment with baking and just take it easy because it can be quite powerful. But if you get your dose right, it could just be the real answer for you, Texter. Google it.
Often it's the terpenes as well, so different varieties. Purely kind of CBD, THC product might be a bit up for, say, late at night if people are wanting to be mellow. If it's got some CBD in it, it might kind of relax that. But generally, it's the terpenes. It's the ones that come from that Afghani kind of area. The terpenes that they have are generally a bit more mellow.
I think they don't want to smoke it, though. That's the...
Okay.
So just the delivery. There's a few ways to go about
it. Can you make a tea with cannabis?
Of course.
Yes, you can.
I did that in Cambodia, actually.
And they had heaps of DAC by accident.
Suzanne Albert, the saint of cannabis here in New Zealand, she, you know, used to
it tasted like shit.
This is tea, and very common for menstrual cramps. Have it as a tea, and why not? Why shouldn't the women of New Zealand be allowed to put a little bit of leaf in their tea Why the hell not?
Can't buy. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
And I'll
one
first
last
Thursday
thing before
stitch.
I go, just because it's Olympics time, and the good news, the Olympics head, Seb Coe, the runner guy, he said they're going to revisit their marijuana policy and hopefully remove it from the list of prohibited things. So,
okay.
Awesome.
That's cool.
You can go back to watching the Olympics now, because I know we all stopped at a protest.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm a